Nope. Seen it. Oh, nah.
Can't find something to watch? Introducing Sky Stream. It's Sky without the dish. Watch unmissable Sky exclusives like The Regime and Netflix too, all over super reliable Sky full fibre broadband. Get Sky Stream, Sky Broadband and Netflix for just €50 a month. Search Sky Stream. Availability subject location. New customers only. 12-month minimum term. Stream and broadband sold separately. Further terms apply. For more info, see sky.ie/speeds.
On this week's Big Tech Show, how will the latest developments in artificial intelligence affect your life? Will you get new powerful personal assistants? Are you in danger of something terrible happening? We explain what's going on.
Just a couple of weeks ago, Anthropic, which is OpenAI competitor, their startup lab, actually founded by former OpenAI employees, they actually eclipsed GPT-4 only just a couple of weeks ago with their latest model, and the internet went crazy. This is just better than GPT-4 at everything. So OpenAI had to respond to that.
The Big Tech Show, available on all podcast platforms.
Yeah, having my head shoved into the steps of the Ulster Bank in Ranelagh, cold butt of a gun put into the back of your skull, that's a moment where you go, okay, yeah, I think this one's up.
How does a high-flying academic become one of Ireland's most prolific bank robbers?
What I would see as the most important part of this still lies open.
I'm Not Here to Hurt You, a brand new series from the award-winning team behind the Indo Daily.
That November day, that's where it all begins.
Out now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an Irish Independent podcast.
Hello and welcome to The Left Wing. Well, we are here in the lovely surroundings of the Guinness Storehouse for the launch of the men's 2024 Six Nations. Lads, coming in here today, I was thinking that Stormisha was going to throw a spanner in the works for today's launch.
Well, it did a bit. The French didn't make it. Jamie George, the England captain, had to do his interviews on Zoom. The CEO of the Six Nations, Tom Harrison, wasn't able to travel to his own launch. So yeah, there was definitely a bit of disruption, and I think the number of media here has been diminished by it. And a couple of our colleagues, Keane was supposed to be here. Now he's a late sub, but he's stuck in Leicester after covering Leicester.
You're welcome,
Leicester,
Dave. You're welcome.
And it's great to have you here. And it was great to be able to, like, this launch, a bit inside baseball maybe, but it's always in London and it's always a big trek over. So it was nice to be able to, you guys were able to walk probably. I was able to get the bus.
It actually is my first from covering five nations, not exactly four nations, but from covering five nations to six. This is my first ever launch. And I'm living only 20 minutes
away. How did you manage that, Dave?
Yes, we can see it in the background.
We have our second game of the championship. But I always manage to dodge these gigs, which is...
First impressions?
...is one of the highlights of my career. My first impression is that the food is excellent.
Yeah, very good.
And you get a pint of Guinness. The rest of the stuff, we'll skate quickly over. Yeah, it is literally like it's a bun fest. It's just you're fed quotes. You're fed a bit of eggs in the morning. Bit of stew at lunchtime. You're fed more quotes in between. But listen, it's service purpose. I was talking to Gatti earlier. He's done 17 of these.
Wow.
And like back in his day, talking like an old man now, but I mean, there were only a few media outlets. There was internet, but there was no lavish internet media. There were no podcasters. There were no influencers or creators. And now even I think creators had their own room here today.
They had their
own section. Not too sure about influencers. They probably had a floor, actually. And
Netflix are here.
Yeah, and Netflix are here. Actually, I bumped into one of them earlier on. And so it's just, you know, the landscape has vastly changed. I think a billion social media hits, I think.
Incredible,
last year. So that's what it is. And it's the oldest championship, and it has all that grandeur and that kind of, but it is also modern and new age and wonderfully kind of... now.
Anything grab you today, just generally, Rory? Obviously, it was the first time us hearing from Peter Mahoney since he was announced as captain. First time hearing from Andy Farrell as well since he announced the squad as well.
Yeah, I think it's an inescapable to escape. Sorry, the World Cup shadow is inescapable. Mm. You know, Scotland were asked about having, you know, Ireland in their heads. Italy were asked about losing heavily against France and New Zealand and how that's going to affect them, even though they have a new coach. And Andy Farrell was talking...
South Africa.
Yeah, France. I mean, everyone is coming... Like, France and Ireland... The World Cup final that wasn't in Marseille next Friday night is obviously looming large, and both Ireland and France were, you know, talking about, you know, Andy Farrell right now is on his way back to Carlton House to rip off the band-aid and do a review of Ireland New Zealand, because Ireland as a squad have not been together since that. So obviously there's a big change. You know, Johnny Sexton won't be sitting in for that review, and he'll be nowhere to be seen. He's off selling glass around the world, and Peter O'Mahony is the new Ireland captain, and he was there today. And obviously then there's, you know, the other shadow hanging over him is his contract, and he spoke about that a little bit without talking about it really. My sense is probably that that's getting worked on behind the scenes, and he's quite comfortable.
He's paid for being here today, though. I mean, it seems quite extraordinary that we have, effectively a man who's been offered the captaincy of his country, the highest honour. You know, a lot of that stuff I think is overblown, especially in rugby. But I mean, it is the highest honour you get as a boy growing up. And effectively, he is out of a job this summer. Now, as you say, realpolitik will kick in. It will get sorted. And we don't know how the machinations and everything. But the mood music of it, the choreography of it, is just completely off, and it's a terrible look for the RFU, and it looks really, just really looks messy.
Well, what we got today was a timeline in that, and I know we're going to play a clip from Peter now, but he said that Andy Farrell rang him the Monday after week ago today. So contract stuff would have been ongoing. Farrell obviously knew who he wanted to have as captain, but I think he wanted to see him play. A man, he has admitted today that he contemplated retiring after the World Cup. So there was a lot of moving parts at play, and I think once Andy Farrell made that move, everything will fall into line. And I would say maybe something like a 1-year rolling contract where every kind of spring they go to O'Mahony and say, how are you feeling? And he says, I'm grand, I'll go on. We'll probably be the way they'll approach things. And look, maybe in a year's time or something, they'll go, do you know what? We think that this relationship has ended, has come to its natural conclusion. At the same time, that may not happen because, you know, South Africa just won a World Cup with two 37-year-old back rows. The last two Ireland captains have been 38 at the World Cup. There is a precedent for O'Mahony to follow here. And I think we'd be very hasty to write him off at this point. You know, I think, watching him play for Munster the last 2 weeks, he's so much to offer. And watching him command that room today, he's a very impressive communicator now in a way that he wasn't always.
Yeah, because you mentioned that earlier to me, Dave, about Peter's demeanour even as soon as he kind of walked into the press conference room. And he knew, of course, that the questions about his contract were going to be coming as well. But
It wasn't staged because, like, Peter doesn't do staged. I mean, he just does Peter O'Mahony. And, like, you know, again, there's a lot of blather about authenticity and not Andy Farrell talks about that. But, I mean, in fairness to Peter, he's always been authentic. He doesn't do fakery. That's not him. That's not his family. But he had that kind of, big, broad smile, kind of a knowing smile, almost like, you know, yeah, I know it's coming because he had been asked about it earlier on TV and on radio, I think. And but it was just a sense of, almost a sense of, I think the incongruity of the situation that, they're going to be asking me about my contract situation, which, again, I think is bizarre. The choreography of it is, and I just have a parallel thought that, it'd be kind of funny if he went to Bordeaux or something, but obviously that's not going to happen. But just the fact that, all that speculation now the last 2 or 3 weeks, it's a bit odd, you know?
Yeah. Well, let's just hear now from Peter on that contract and also the honour of him being named as Ireland captain.
Yeah, wasn't expecting it, to be honest. But obviously,
was deep down.
I wasn't.
You was.
A special phone call to get, and then you've got to go and do a job for a week, with Munster. But, I was, as I said, what an honour to get the call, especially, the group and everyone, to get a phone call from Andy, it's a special thing. And, as I said, a huge honour. This is always the time of year comes around. And I think there's been lots talked about over the last couple of weeks on it. So I'm happy enough to leave it at that. And, it's a special day for me, to be honest. And the whole Six Nations kicking off, and I'm delighted to talk about that. I'm happy to park the rest of it.
Well, obviously there's a few candidates because we've got some great leadership within the group, and that will continue to grow, and Peter will be at the heart of that to help it do exactly that, but as far as natural fit, natural leaders of coming from what we've come from before with Johnny, he's the type of leader that's exactly the same, in the sense that he's just being himself, and being your natural self is what they call authentic these days, isn't it? You know, and it's very easy to follow. There's certain people that you walk into a room and they're in the room, they make the room feel right. It's pretty important around the place, and certainly on match day, that you have that type of person in the dressing room, and Peter's certainly one of those. So just being himself and helping others to grow is he's gonna be great for him and his family, etc. And I'll know that he'll do the country proud.
Rory, Andy Farrell was asked as well about kind of the World Cup. I thought he spoke really well today. And he spoke about undergoing a review with the players, how he was heading down to go through that with the players back in Carlton House today.
Yeah, like Andy Farrell hasn't spoken to the Irish media since the World Cup quarterfinal defeat itself and the post-match press conference. And we squeezed a couple of questions in over at the Lions launch last Wednesday week. But that was very much do you mind if we ask you a little bit about your day job kind of thing? And he talked about at that moment about how what he had learned was that Ireland need to learn to win the moments along the way, and that they can't leave it come down to fine margins. So I think we're going to see an attempt to be a more ruthless team over the next couple of months. And then today, he looked like he really wanted to speak, which kind of, I just don't know why they haven't put him up before now, just to kind of clear the air, get that stuff gone so he can focus forward. But anyway, that's a decision that he and the IRFU have made. His messaging today was very much that the World Cup is not going to be a hangover for me, and by dealing with it at that meeting today, it won't be a hangover for my players. That by the time we get to Marseille on Friday week, we can see the opportunity that's in front of us. We will go there to win a game, to win a championship, to defend our crown. And that's really all that matters now. And that 4 years' time in Australia, that doesn't matter. The Lions doesn't matter. All that matters is the now. And that's the way he has to coach and manage it. And you can see that by the squad that he's picked. You know, a very experienced squad. Even just looking at Leinster the other day, you could see it being 12 Leinster players plus Bundiaki, Jack Crowley and Peter O'Mahony. You know, like it's such a stable, solid squad, solid team. And, you know, you've Joe McCarthy, maybe Ryan Baird coming in to add a few bits. You've got the three kind of, what do they call them? Traveling reserves or training panelists or whatever they're being called when they're going to Portugal this week. You know, they're all there for the experience, but really what we're going to see is a familiar Ireland team around Jack Crowley in Marseille on Friday week. And I can understand why he's doing that, because it's such a difficult fixture and this remains a very important competition that Ireland want to win.
Okay, well, here is Andy Farrell just on that review that he's going to have with the players, kind of squad update, and also just about Jack Crowley and the out-halves in the Ireland squad as well.
First meeting this afternoon. Hopefully we get away on time to be able to get to that first meeting where we'll be open and honest. Why? Because we're open and honest in the sense that we had any type of good victory in the past. You make sure that you use those opportunities, every opportunity, to try and grow and try to understand it together. It's the only way that you do move on by addressing things, and we'll certainly be doing that over the next couple of weeks. I don't know, I'm here. I'm hoping so anyway. I'm hoping there's no curveballs. I'm actually dying to get there. I'm dying to get there and get stuck in and get involved again. I'm sure that he's the same. So medicals and a few tidy-ups today. So, I mean, Jack, he's been around for quite some time now. And, you know, he's seen how Johnny goes about his daily life of making sure that Jack doesn't get his place and making sure that Jack keeps on competing now. Harry, on the same trade of thought, but Harry gets to work with Johnny every single day, you know. So hopefully how Johnny has been, certainly as a leader, but more importantly for those guys, as a number 10, a world-class, once-in-a-generation type player, number 10 over the last 4 or 5 years, if they haven't learned something from that, and not just that, if they're not excited about wanting to take that on and take the challenge on and say I'm going to make that my position, then we're going to get to find out about a lot of people's characters, those three players in the coming weeks, that's for sure. Look at the squad that we've picked over the last couple of years. We've capped a lot of players. Some of those players, a good few of them, are under 10 caps or so, and Some have not been involved in the squad over the last 12 months or 18 months, etc. So trying to grow the squad in that sense is pretty important. You know, is this a new start? It's not, because of everything that we've been through. We want to continue to grow. Want to continue to evolve our game, and you don't do that by just cutting the legs off it and going again. You know, competition for places is premium, and it has to stay that way. So this is the start of a new Six Nations. I don't buy into the 4-year cycle that tends to come around when World Cups are finished.
As I was saying there earlier, Dave, I thought Andy spoke really clearly today, and it's really obvious to see how his message will come across so clearly as well to the players. So they are moving on.
Yeah, I mean, again, with Andy, you don't think there's depth, but there is depth, and there's so much experience that he's learned over the years and in two different sports, with two different countries, with the Lions, and from a position of being a head coach and an assistant coach, from being a captain, from being under captains. And like, you know, he does know the benefit. And I mean, I think even the appointment of Peter O'Mahony fits in with that. It's about, you know, what works for us now, you know, what is the best thing to do now, as opposed to 4 years' time. Like, Keane Healy is not for 4 years' time. Peter O'Mahony may not be for 4 years' time. But, you know, it's about Friday week, Marseille. That is the biggest game for them right now. And like, you got to remember, they're Grand Slam champions. Okay, they lost the World Cup quarter final. France have only lost two really big important games in the last 2 years, huge games which cost them two titles as well. So like, that is just momentous. So to be thinking beyond that in terms of how am I going to plot the route of my out halves for the next 2 to 3 years. I mean, you know, okay, you got South Africa in the summer to look at then, but like, you know, there's enough in this great old championship to be looking at now and get into it now and focus on this now, because, you know, I mean, even looking at like England in the championship, it's
miles away. I thought the, you know, the squad stuff that, you know, people have probably thrown at it, that it wasn't refreshed enough. If you watch the European action over the weekend, there's not actually that many players putting their hands up beyond the players that are in this squad now. And I think there is going to be a little bit of movement within the squad. I mentioned
McCarthy. And even some of those in the squad didn't put their hands up either.
Absolutely. You know, certainly in the stoop anyway. You know, and I think there was a very telling moment where he was asked, I think we played it earlier, or maybe we didn't, but the question about Jacob Stockdale that came in from Northern Ireland. He was asked about Jacob Stockdale's great form, and he kind of gave a very watery answer about that, based probably on what he saw last weekend. So he's been watching all that closely. And I do think that a lot of the players who were at the World Cup have been the best players at their provinces. I'm thinking of Dan Sheehan. I thought Tadhg Furlong stepped up at the weekend. I thought Josh Van der Veer has come back to form. O'Mahony has been excellent. And it's maybe someone like Joe McCarthy, Ryan Baird, who can come in and freshen things up. But maybe I think that the generation of new players that we've seen still have a little bit of a step to get there. And like, Ireland have been number one team in the world for the last 2 years, pretty much. I know they're three right now. It's hard to get into the number one team in the world, or, you know, one of the top four. So like, I don't see really much of an argument for completely shaking things up. I think he's made the right decision, even if it maybe looks a little bit conservative from the outside.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and even some of the guys at Munster, like a lot of talk about Gavin Coombs and his consistency, and like, you know, are you really seeing that?
And who do you take out
from him? Yeah. You know, guys like Cian Prendergast have done very well in flashes, but then at what level? It's really tough. And like, there's obviously a bigger debate about resources and why are Leinster too strong, and, you know, what's gone wrong, and why have Ulster been allowed to spend hundreds of thousands on a World Cup winning prop when they should be developing their own, and they can't afford to pay Peter O'Mahony what he deserves. So there's huge bigger issues there which will be solved by David Humphreys, or attempted to be solved by him when he comes in, which David Nusafora didn't really get around to. But that's kind of a bigger kind of picture thing. But yeah, in the smaller picture, I mean, it's for this game, again, the here and the now, it's Leinster plus, you know, three or four, you know, three or four squabbles. And there's not that many arguments, which, you know, has it been like that really the last couple of years? I mean, it's been very...
And opposition coaches would say that the cohesion is a great strength. So
yeah, and it's a strength and a weakness in terms of, you know, what the team is going to be. You can plan. They can be like everyone, the usual opposition. They all say they have a starter, a pattern of play. And, you know, that was arguably, you might know a bit better in terms of being analytical. That was probably picked over a little bit too easily by New Zealand and Joe Schmidt in the quarterfinal. And then you're kind of going, well, that's where it becomes a weakness, that predictability and selection and possibly game plan. And that it was picked out by one of the great minds of coaching. And that if there isn't that kind of, you know, quality underneath in terms of depth, that's when things become a struggle. When you're looking at four-year cycles, yeah. I mean, you know, I'm not saying it's easy to win a Grand Slam, but you could win a Grand Slam, but then trying to follow that up with a World Cup, it was a bridge too far in the end, you know.
Before we go into kind of an overview of how we reckon the Six Nations is going to go, Dave, you were in at all the press conferences today, were you? With all the head coaches or the captains that were there, anything stand out?
Six press conferences, yeah. So I had a pint of Guinness for each one. So if I lose my train of thought, excuse me, but I was kind of struck by a couple of things, like in terms of what we've just spoken about. I mean, listen, they are going to say it, aren't they? Because they're here. But, you know, an element of trying to focus on this tournament and not worry about that, as you say, the World Cup hangover and, you know, ripping off the band-aid. And they all have their traumas. Italy have a trauma. France have a trauma. I mean, arguably, funny enough, yeah, Scotland, obviously. England, oddly, are in a strange place. And Steve Borthwick kind of looked more calm and collected than he's ever kind of looked. Jamie George was on Zoom. He was stranded after European action yesterday. But England, with Felix Jones there, like, he, you know, Steve Borthwick spoke glowingly about him and what he will bring, just a bit extra edge to them. And they always have kind of, they have a lot of players that they haven't used. I mean, you know, the players they've left out, especially the back, the three quarters, like if they get their stuff together, they could be seriously good. But but also as well, I'm just getting a sense of, I mean, we spoke about people who are missing because of Storm Aisha fusing into, I think Jocelyn is here tomorrow. I think she's here tomorrow. But, you know, we're missing a lot of stars in this tournament. I mean, there's a lot of talk about Netflix and that's kicking on 24th. I think it's being released, but, like, you know, there's no DuPont, and you look what he did yesterday against Bath, and I can see him here right in front of me, and he just seems to be on a loop on all the TVs as you go around this the storehouse today. Like, he's pursuing his own dream, which is wonderful, and maybe it's selfish of us, you know, but like that he's not going to be there as France take the Six Nations all around their country, which loves rugby anyway. But Louis Rees-Zammit going to the NFL again, pursuing a dream that, you know, he might have only one
mentioned
shot
that again
at
today.
He might have only one shot at doing it, but he is just, again, like, in Wales. Wales aren't a team you really like to go and see, you know, and watch anymore. But he is a player that you want to see, you want to watch. So that's going to be a big miss.
Not to mention Johnny Sexton or Owen Farrell. You know, it's just
Owen Farrell has withdrawn himself from the tournament, and again, he's just such a compelling personality. Regardless of, I'm no truck for what people do on social media and think about him as a person no more than people thought about Johnny Sexton or Paul O'Connell or Brian O'Driscoll. I mean, that's completely separate. But on the field, he's a compelling personality, and he's missing. So there's a lot of stardust kind of missing, and you kind of hope, you know, we're talking about Ireland. You know, where's the stardust with Ireland? I mean, you know, they play some beautiful rugby, but you're looking for, where's the next superstar coming from Ireland?
I think Dan Sheehan is star quality. I think Joe McCarthy, just watching him yesterday, I know second rows were never the sexiest position.
Is he
going to
start?
As a former second row, our second row sexy worry.
it's a podcast for another day. Yeah. But look, I think Joe McCarthy has the potential to take this tournament by storm. I personally would start him. I think he's the cornerstone of the Irish pack for the next 10 years. He's got such, even like he's got a little bit of a mullet going on now. He's doing his own thing, and he's 21. He's got a confidence about the way he plays, the way he throws himself about. He's got a World Cup under his belt. Like, Doris has a bit of stardust as well.
Miafu is missing
as well. Yeah, so that's just the news today. Yeah, so there is a chance for him to go and, like, you know, make this a big statement, a chance to refresh within it. But Jack Crowley, I think, has all the makings now. He needs to, like, I think Ireland have been tied up in this almost all black humility thing over the years. And I know I interviewed Jack Crowley recently. He got a great interview, and but he's very much, he was quite safe in some of the things he said around the team and not wanting to be a star, but I think maybe they could let them off the leash a little bit and kind of let him be himself a bit more. But like, he's got a big Six Nations coming up, and I think if it goes well for him, I think he will be a household name by the end of it. And look, Ireland have incredibly good players, but they do, I think the team and the way the team plays is the kind of the star of what they do, but they have great individuals within it. I think like Michele Lamaro, the Italy captain, was the only captain here today who was doing it for more than his first time, you know. So I mean, Wales didn't bring their captain, David Jenkins didn't come. So it's a very different Six Nations launch because a lot of the media didn't travel because it's in Dublin. It felt a bit lower key. But I think once we get to Marseille next weekend, it won't feel any less box office.
Yeah. When are you off to Portugal?
I'm at the weekend. So it's going to be, so Ireland are going tomorrow.
Right.
They're going to do media remote on Friday, and then they do media. They're naming their team there on Wednesday. They're doing a session on Monday as well. So it's my obligation to go to, I think it's 20 degrees there this week. So I'm looking forward to getting, well, Dublin doesn't look too bad at the window
not
here,
but
get
bad
away from all these storms. As long as I can miss them on the way out, I don't get stuck in Dublin.
Storm Sagres.
But they've done that for, they've done that for the last couple of Six Nations, and they swear by it as a way to get away from this intense media, not that it's that intense on them, but like to get away from Ireland, get a bit of warm weather on their back and hit the ground running. And last year, they flew from Portugal to Wales.
That's right.
Didn't they score 3 tries in the first 20 minutes? Yeah. Absolutely blitz
England,
Wales.
England are doing something similar.
Yeah, Scotland went away last year as well. So it's more of a team now. So I'm all for it, personally.
Of course you are.
They're flying direct then to Marseille from Portugal. So it's a different build-up. Not an easy way to get from one place to another, but they'll be, you get the sense they'll be ready, and that cohesion that they have from World Cup, which is still only three months, is going to stand for them even in the post-Johnny Sexton era.
Yeah, definitely listening to Farrell today, you would think that. So who do you think, let's give an old early prediction for this Six Nations. Is there a Grand Slam in the running for anyone, or is it that
France,
kind of year?
France could do it. I think England have a very nice fixture list. They play Italy first and then Wales before they kind of get stuck into it. But they have to go to Ireland at home and France away. France of Ireland and England at home, which I think in this tournament, they're the three best teams. I can't see Wales, Scotland or Italy really doing much in the tournament. So England have a nice chance to build momentum, but I don't think they're high enough quality yet to beat both Ireland and France. Mm-hmm. And France just have that bit extra at home on the back of that World Cup. I just think they might have a little bit too much as Jack Rowdy gets used to playing 10 for Ireland, and Ireland adapt to not having Johnny Sexton's voice in the room.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's going to be huge. Not so much as presence, but how they play the game and how other teams know that they're going to have to play differently without them. I mean, it's unquantifiable, actually, you know. It'll be fascinating to see, and it's
every training session.
Yeah,
it's part of the it is part of the growth process, and that's going to be fascinating to watch. Just an Irish team develop with this guy, if he's given his head, and you know, allowed to. You know, he didn't have the personality of the weekend, you know, and like you see a kid like Finn Smith coming over and bang, bang, and just doing it, you're kind of thinking, okay, you just haven't heard it yet. So, you know, and there'll be other contenders, but then how that develops as well, do you get into a situation where there are multiple contenders, and that's becomes a kind of almost a soap, mini soap opera. So you'd hope, Stuart Barnes always said, it's good to have one guy who's a nailed on, you know, just for a little while anyway, you know, until maybe becomes established, and then there's somebody challenging, but you don't want too much uncertainty. I think France, England, Ireland, Scotland, Wales, Italy. Mm. Possibly Italy, Wales. I think Quesada, it'd be interesting. I think they could play a kind of, you know, they'll still have the flair and just maybe mix it a bit and just be a bit more kind of pragmatic. But, you know, it's a great championship. It's a great social championship, and I'm looking forward to that aspect of it. I just hope there's a bit of rugby in it as well, you know, because I know we kind of all crave for the old days of, you know, pints of Guinness when there were €3.20 or £3.20 and you know, up the jumper stuff. But, you know, it's about thrills as well and about excitement. And I think funny enough, post-World Cup with so many changes, there will be an element of like, just breathe, relax. I don't think it'll be, you know, France Ireland will obviously be intense, but I think just Marseille and France might get a bit of a, you know, that could just turn into kind of Jouer madness maybe under the lights.
Though. Yeah.
What's the record tonight?
Oh, I think I'm going to go with Ireland for Six Nations. Yeah, and I think
I think they could beat France in Marseille.
Just all comes down to that, doesn't it? Everything
rises or falls on that. Yeah. I mean, we've always known that, you know?
Yeah, it's such a strange schedule, you know, because they've gone 9 days into Italy at home, which is obviously one that you would bank on them to win. Then they play Wales at home, which you'd bank on them to win. Then they go to Twickenham. If they've got 3 wins under their belt, you'd absolutely back them to go to Twickenham and win. And then you've got Scotland for a Grand Slam. So you win on Friday night.
Yeah, Crowley growing into this championship.
It's all on, and you've got such experience. But, you know, that was so close to being a World Cup final. And that's why it's such a difficult game to predict. And with France on home soil in Marseille, where, you know, I think if they met in a World Cup final, there might have been more Irish people at the stadium based on ticket sales this time.
What did Farrell say today? He said people who were going over for the World Cup semi-final, you know, changed their flights to this game in Marseille. It's going to be incredible.
And the two most important words, as we know, in the Six Nations.
What? Momentum.
Mo and momentum. And I mean, that could be like the opening
night. Hear that word today?
No, that's true.
I actually don't even think we did.
No one said it's the toughest Six Nations of all time, which is usually the trope we get every year. But I think that's the World Cup thing that kind of is hanging over it. So
we only had one game at a time. But like, yeah, you're right. I mean, Friday week it'll be a statement win or a statement loss.
Yeah, it will. Well, Rory, enjoy Portugal.
Thank you.
Dave, enjoy Dublin.
I will indeed. I might stay here for some time.
Okay, no doubt you will. Well, Will and Luke will be back with another podcast on Tuesday. But that's it for now. Thanks for listening.